So today's reading is taken from the book of Psalms, and it's from Psalm 23. The Lord, the shepherd of his people, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Your milk, that's great. Thanks. Thanks very much, Claire. Thanks to the worship team, to Chris and Becca. Just thought that was amazing this morning. Really felt quite emotional and stirred as they led us in worship this morning. Just to make one thing clear, just as we start, my lovely wife has bought me one of these. I don't know if anybody else has got these lovely sort of water bottles, which are great, but I have a slight problem in closing them, and I've managed to actually spill it over my seat this morning and then sit in it. So just to make clear, I haven't actually had a rather disturbing accident, as Dave Kingswood suggested before a talk, but it is actually a little bit of a spillage from this water bottle. I have got a soggy bottom, as Mary Berry would say. So just a bit of background before we get into the psalm. So my background is as a paramedic and on emergency ambulances for about 14 years. Dave asked me to sort of address this subject a few months ago. We're doing a series at Welton at the moment on a Sunday morning of Perfect Love Casts Out Fear. And this morning we're looking at sort of perfect love casting out fear in the face of illness and death. And two things I just wanted to say, really, just as we start. And the first is I really believe in healing. I really believe that God can intervene in our lives and heal us. I believe we see it in the ministry of Jesus. I really, really believe that it's a great expression, if you like, of God's kingdom coming, a kind of breaking in among us and seeing healing. That's not quite the angle we're coming from this morning. And the second thing I want to say is that I realise this is a very sensitive subject, really, where we're dealing with things like illness and death. I know lots of people in the body of Christ here. And I know you've faced a lot of things. There are people who have nursed loved ones year after year, people who have had cancer, people who have died, and people who are facing, had loved ones who have died, and people who are really just facing a lot of pain in their lives, daily struggle, illness. And that can be, that's really difficult. And we're all kind of coming at this from different places, aren't we? And there's not going to be one overall answer today, but hopefully we can just share some things that bring some encouragement. And I realise that it is a sensitive subject. And I just wanted to kind of put it, really, this subject of perfect love casting out fear in the face of illness and death, just in the sort of framework of this 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm, it's often used at funerals, but actually the setting of the psalm is probably springtime, and there's a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement, really, that we can draw from it. Now, just by way of intro, really, can we... we'll pop up the first slide if we can. There are a couple of ways in which we deal with fear, isn't there? And I think one of the ways we deal with things that we fear is to make a little bit of a joke of them, to perhaps make light of them, to just really, we're scared about it, so we perhaps make a joke about it. Oh, there he is, look. Is that anybody? Thank you, Matt. Thanks, Martin. Does anybody recognise this character? Basil Fawlty, yeah. How many of you were coming to the meeting this morning thinking, I bet we'll see Basil Fawlty up there this morning? But there he is, Basil Fawlty. And those who are kind of my age group and maybe a little bit older probably grew up with Fawlty Towers. It was quite a kind of cult sort of comedy series, really. They only made 12 episodes, but they made one called The Kipper and the Corpse. Does anybody remember The Kipper and the Corpse? So, Basil's sort of running the hotel. It runs along the lines of one of the guests dies in bed and he takes his kipper breakfast up to him, doesn't even realise he's dead, and comes back down and Sybil goes up and sees him, and Basil's just gone about how rude he was and not answering him back. And Sybil said, "Basil, he's dead." And this whole kind of farce just ensues about trying to sort of move this kipper and this corpse. And actually, in a way, it's a way of, dealing with something we're scared about, using fear and using humour to kind of help with our fears. We just pop the next one up, Martin. This is going back a little bit further. Some of the more seasoned folks may recognise this person. Does anybody know who this is? Spike Milligan, yeah. Spike Milligan, he was very gifted with words, and I wasn't sure whether to share this quote of his or not, but I will. One of the things he said was this: "You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, which is just long enough to be President of the United States." Said that many, many years ago. I'm making no kind of contemporary sort of commentary on that. But another thing about Spike Milligan is actually he suffered terribly. He suffered with mental health challenges. He was very, very unwell at different times. And what he did at the end of his life, he has something in Gaelic written on his gravestone, which again is quite humorous. Some people might actually know. Yeah, Graham. Yeah. So Spike Milligan on his gravestone in Gaelic has, "I told you I was ill," written on his grave, which is... it's quite funny, isn't it? Sort of go to the doctor and says, go away, take some paracetamol and see how it goes. And Spike Milligan saying, "And I went and died, I told you I was ill, doctor." There you go. So again, using humour to kind of help with our fear of illness and death. Perhaps another way that we deal with our fear of illness and death is, as Matt mentioned in the kind of prayer time this morning, is we don't even go there. We don't even think about it. We don't even discuss it. If you just pop up the next slide, Martin. There is a quote from, it will come up in a minute, but I'll read it to you. It's by a Christian minister and author called Richard Rohr. And Richard Rohr says this: "By and large, what human beings want is resurrection without death, answers without doubt, light without darkness, the conclusion without the process." Just read that one more time. "By and large, what human beings want is resurrection without death, answers without doubt, light without darkness, the conclusion without the process." And I think there are different layers to what Richard Rohr is saying, but one of the things he's saying is we don't like going into things we find difficult, painful, mysterious. But actually, there's a different approach. As we follow Jesus and as we walk with God, as we look at the scriptures, there is a different approach to illness and to death. With David in the 23rd Psalm, one of the things that you kind of read the psalm and you think, actually, it sounds lovely and tranquil and perfect. But David really knew very, very differently that this was actually an environment which was very, very difficult, shepherding sheep in ancient Israel. It was very, very dangerous. We read of David kind of fighting lions and bears at different times. And there would have been a lot of predation. Hyenas would have been a big problem. They would have taken and decimated the flock and left nothing of the sheep. And David is actually saying something really profound. He's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this is actually a really powerful statement. David is saying that just as I am to the sheep, just as I am willing to lay down my life for the sheep, be completely committed to them, protect them, help them in a violent and dangerous kind of environment, just as I am with them when it's dark, when it's bleak, when it's difficult, that's what the Lord is like to me. Now, we don't need a shepherd when the going is good. We don't need a shepherd when we can see the way ahead. And this is what David is getting at. You need a shepherd when you can't see the way ahead. You need a shepherd when it's dark. You need a shepherd when you're lost. You need a shepherd when you get the diagnosis of illness. You need the shepherd when you're facing death. That's when we need the shepherd. And what David is saying is, just as I am to the sheep, so the Lord is to me. I think within our sort of society, with our culture, we have quite a culture of fear in some ways, don't we? We have a lot of expectations about health and having good health, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But actually, with media and social media, they kind of play on our fears quite a lot. I've just got, if we just pop up the next slide, Martin, just got some headlines that are kind of picked out recently that kind of play into our fears, really, come weighted with fear. Anxiety may be an early sign of Alzheimer's. Now, how many of us here have had issues or have issues with fairly significant anxiety at times? Okay, quite a lot of us. If I could put my feet up in the air as well, I would. But I would probably dislodge Malcolm's PA and damage it, and I'm actually really scared of doing that, so I'm not going to go there. But actually, it plays into the fear of a lot of people. Death risk increased with 2 blood pressure drugs. There's a big driver at the moment in the NHS to kind of treat high blood pressure, isn't there? And yet we have this headline kind of then starting to work on fear, really, in relation to that. And finally, millennials on track to have worse health problems but than their parents by middle age, new study finds. Well, what study? What were its parameters? Need to examine that a bit, don't we? But it's things that kind of play into our fear. Some time ago, I saw a lady who'd had a head injury in the course of my work, and it happened a few days before, and all of her tests and observations were coming back fine. I was just trying to kind of delve into, what are you concerned about, really? What are you fearful over? And she said, well, I've been reading about Natasha Richardson for the last few days. I don't know if many of you know the story of Natasha Richardson, but a beautiful actress married to Liam Neeson, the actor, had a skiing accident some years ago and ended up having a brain hemorrhage and dying. Really, really sad. And actually, for somebody of that age, not on kind of blood thinners and different medicines like that, to have that sort of outcome, it's really, really rare. But what our kind of globalization of information does, in a way, and the way sometimes things are presented, is it stirs fear, doesn't it? It makes the kind of the exception perhaps seem like the rule in terms of where we go with the media. But there is so many voices that we could just listen to that would really create fear. But actually, God has a different way. David says in verse 3 of the psalm, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There was something in ancient Israel called a right path. And the farming that would take place then would be very different from today. So you wouldn't have things like hedgerows kind of separating and protecting your fields. And what you would have to do is lead the sheep through this right path. And on one side of the path, you might have acres of wheat. On the other side, you might have acres of barley or whatever. And there was nothing to actually protect or stop the sheep from kind of charging into these crops and causing serious problems, getting lost. So what the shepherd had to do was lead them. And the way he led them, primarily, was with his voice, was by talking to them, them getting to know his voice so he could lead them in a right path and that they would follow him. I think one of the things is, how do we kind of pick out the voice of the shepherd in the midst of trials, in the midst of fears, and really listen to that voice above the voice of the world? If we just pop up the next one, Martin. So just a couple of scriptures there. And if I'd left the headlines up there all day, those kind of negative headlines, the more we would look at those, whether we like it or not, they would start to influence our thinking. But actually, as we kind of immerse ourselves a little bit in God's word and get a different perspective, that can also just start to change the way that we think as well and give us a different a different perspective on reality. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. Jesus came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, Hebrews 2:15. And that can kind of renew our minds. It's a way of just hearing the voice of the shepherd, but also as we listen to God in prayer, where the voice of the world and the voice of the enemy may be very insistent, very demanding, really like a tumultuous voice that causes turmoil and comes weighted with fear, the voice of the shepherd is different, isn't it? It has a different quality to it. It has a different rhythm, a different cadence, And I want to say that even in the midst of serious illness, even in the midst of a serious diagnosis, even when facing death, the voice of the shepherd won't bring fear. The voice of the shepherd will still bring comfort. It will bring strength. It will bring hope. It will be a sustaining voice that comes to you. It has a different quality from the voice of the world and the voice of the enemy. I just want to kind of throw out a question. I know lots of you are facing lots of things, but when somebody's facing serious illness and death, what do you think are the main questions people ask of God? And I know people here have been through this. It's just what do you think the main questions are? I think in my experience, whether Christian or non-Christian, people tend to ask, why me or why us? That can be one of the initial kind of questions. But also, you know, is God there for me? Will God come through for me? It's very easy for us to think, yeah, he's there for somebody else. You know, he's there for Dave Kingswood, but is he there for me? And the enemy can kind of work with that to isolate you, to make you feel that you're somehow not worthy or off God's radar. Is God really there for me? I'll just tell you a little story which I've anonymized from my work. This happened many years ago and nowhere near here. Just have a little swig of my bottle without spilling it everywhere. I was working, booked onto an emergency ambulance with my crewmate, Steve, and it was a morning very different from this morning. It was a winter's morning. It was dark. It was really, really misty. And we immediately got a call. We got a cardiac arrest call, so serious, with CPR in progress. And this was for a man, actually, given as a man in his 30s. So, you know, we tried to get there as quickly as we could. And when you arrive as an ambulance person, there are different things that you're looking for, really. And you're kind of thinking about logistics. You're thinking, A, can you get close to the property? B, are they upstairs? We have a little joke in the ambulance service of when people feel unwell, they try and go to the highest point of the house, and then it's quite tricky to get them down. And C, and I don't mean this judgmentally, how big are they? Because, again, that's going to just influence how quickly you can extricate somebody if you need to get a bit of a shifty on with them. And anyway, we didn't get past A on this call. We couldn't actually get close to this property, so me and Steve kind of loaded all the stuff on our backs. I like to say we were kind of running through the dark, but it was more kind of a trundle. I think it was definitely more sort of Dad's Army turning up than Gladiator or something like that. I had a bad chest as well, so I was really kind of huffing and panting when I got in there and thinking, gosh, I'm not sure I'm sort of fit for anything, really. So we weren't particularly impressed, and we got in, and actually it was a situation where the person had died, and it was actually his dad who was with him, and I sort of got in there just before Steve, and I said, I'm really sorry, we're not going to do anything, he has died. And so the point really is this, that we didn't do anything. We were like Dad's Army, going in there, kind of puffing and panting as we got in, didn't open a bag, but we stayed with the father, and we listened to him, and we talked with him, and we had a cup of tea with him. And we had to wait for the police who come in cases of unexpected death. They act on behalf of the coroner as the coroner's assistant to try to help sort of find out what's gone on and what the cause of death is. And anyway, some weeks later, we got a lovely letter back from this father saying, said quite a few things, but essentially what he was saying was this. I think Matt touched into this some weeks ago. He was saying, you were with me. You were with me. It was dark. It was painful. But you were meaningfully present for me at that horrible time in my life. And that's actually a scenario that, for me, that's been repeated kind of many times, really, that I've had more response from people where there's been death actually than life. And it's been the same thing. It's saying, well, somebody was with me. And I think that's very much what God says to us in these times of illness, these times of pain, death, difficulty. He says, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And verse 4 of the psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, David knows about this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One of the things that would have happened as the sheep were being led through the valley, as the valley kind of undulated and went up and down, there would be a time when the sheep would lose sight of the shepherd. I don't know whether they could hear him or not, but probably what David is referring to here is that the shepherd would then raise his rod so that the sheep that couldn't see him where he'd gone down into the dip could see a token, if you like, of his presence, a token that he was still with them. I think very often at these times, God gives us a token of his love or a token of his presence just to sustain us in these times. I remember some years ago, I can't go into the details of it, but I was really in turmoil over a situation. I was crying out to God and reading my Bible in my car before I was going into work. And he just brought me this verse. He just, from Psalm 31, he said, you have known my soul in adversities. And it wasn't God saying, I'm going to bring healing, I'm going to pull you out of the situation. But it was enough. It was something that just slotted into my spirit for that day. And it was like God saying, Jeremy, I'm with you. I'm with you. I haven't left you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you. And it was grace for the day. It was the word that really kind of sustained me for that day and for that time. And for all of us, as we look at these times, there will be a token as we cry out to God. And maybe it's a word of scripture. Maybe it's somebody from the body of Christ. We really need people in the body of Christ, don't we? Maybe, Matt and Joe Coombs will turn up on your doorstep and you know, be there to pray for you. And if you're lucky, Joe will have made a cake as well, which is, you know, even better. But there will be this token of the love of God. David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There would have been two things following the flock. They would have been two dogs at the back of the flock that would have been there again to protect, to come in between the flock and any predators. If you're anything like my wife, Claire, you may not find being followed by dogs all that comforting. She's a little bit fearful of dogs. I think freedom from fear of dogs is kind of later on in the series, so we'll get to that. And it's thought actually that that David has then named these dogs, and he's named these dogs Goodness and Mercy. Goodness and mercy following. And in the difficult times, sometimes it's difficult to see goodness and mercy, isn't it? Sometimes you have to look for them. Sometimes you don't realize how close they are until you look back. But the point really is this, that David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that there is this hope that David, even pre-Jesus, pre the death and resurrection of Christ, where David is saying, but there is this eternity with God. And you know, actually, in a way, we have more than David had. We know that about the life and the death of Jesus. We've heard about the resurrection of Jesus. There was a program on TV recently. Did anybody watch the program where people were walking to Santiago de Compostela? There were a lot of celebrities, and they were walking and kind of discussing questions of faith and God. It was one of those programs that you kind of... It was interesting, and you kind of also wanted to like throw something at the TV a little bit as well. It was a good program. I suppose that's the sign, perhaps, of it's interesting. And they had a lovely chap on there who was called Ed Byrne, who's a comedian who I'd not heard of. I think he is a bit more contemporary than Spike Milligan. But he was involved with something called the Humanist Organization. And a lot of people were quite attracted to this, saying, well, it's a good thing to be involved with. It's kind of, essentially, I think it's about, you know, people treating each other well, but without God in the equation. But, you know, the problem that I found with it really is there is no resurrection in humanism. There is, when you're facing illness, when you're facing death, there isn't somebody who can come and bring comfort, come and sustain you, come and bring you hope, actually, of a resurrection that was just completely absent from it. We just pop up that last slide, Martin. So Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. So we have this encouragement. We have this God who says, I am with you. Whatever, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you in your illness, in your struggle, in your difficulty. I've loved you with an everlasting love, an unchanging love. I will be present for you in that time. But we also have this God who sent Jesus. Now, David was the shepherd king of Israel, but he kind of prefigured the great shepherd king, Jesus, who was to come. The shepherd who really would fully lay down his life for his sheep in death and be raised from the dead. And if we get hold of this truth of the death and the resurrection of Jesus as we face these challenges, this changes everything. If we allow this to get hold of us, this can sustain us, help us, and just change everything for us. What I'd like to do this morning is... I just wonder if the prayer ministry team could come out now so people could see them. I just wonder if we could, if we got prayer ministry guys, could just go to the sort of sides of the room. Just so people are aware of who they are. I just want to say this morning, if there's somebody here who doesn't know the shepherd, who doesn't know Jesus as their shepherd, then go and talk to one of these guys this morning, or talk to Dave or Fee or one of the leaders. It may mean a turning. It may mean a turning from things that are destructive or unhelpful in your life. But actually, you can know the love of this shepherd who will be with you when it gets nasty, when it's difficult, when life is hard. This shepherd who will shepherd you and look after you and lead you and help you. So if you don't know Jesus as your shepherd this morning, please go and talk to somebody before you go. And secondly, I just want to say, if there's anybody here who's just been touched by the Holy Spirit, really, I just feel that they would like somebody to stand with them, with what they're facing, whether it's illness of a relative or death, and they would just like somebody to stand with them and be, you know, a token, if you like, of God's loving presence with them this morning and pray for them, then again, please go forward and one of the guys at the side here will pray for you this morning. Okay, and I think the Fee is going to come up and just pray and conclude, and then the worship band are going to come back up. Please.